Oh man,
Casey Dickhead, that block, was that the, game?
Yes.
Wow.
No, that was a different year. That was the one in, I think that was in Little Rock. Well, you had the outstanding game that Arkansas ended up losing ultimately, the CBS primetime game in Little Rock at War Memorial. That was the only game my family attended. They came down, my family, not my immediate family, but my extended family, my sister, my dad, all of them came down. And that was the game where Darren McFadden had the 80-yard touchdown run. That was the year Mike Nail was doing the games after Paul had passed away. And then, of course, that darn Holiday kid returns the kickoff, the ensuing kickoff for a touchdown. So it was heartbreaking. Such a high and such a low back-to-back. It looked like Arkansas was coming, but they've had their moments, more than they should have.
It's been one of those games where it seems like when it was in the schedule where it was almost like a spoiler game in the last few years. It was always interesting, always entertaining. We knew that was going to happen.
Yes, the pride of Anacoco, Louisiana, joining us now on the Sticky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline, the voice of the LSU Tigers, and his own favorite, Jim Hawthorne, joining us. Jim, good morning.
How would anybody in Fayetteville know anything about Anacoco, Louisiana?
Well, we spent a lot of time down that way, to be honest with you. I actually do a lot of work in with Central Arkansas in the Southland Conference, so I've been to your alma mater many times. I haven't been to Anacoco, but I've been in the neighborhood a few times, so...
Yeah. Okay. Well, good.
There you go.
Good to know that somebody knows that it exists.
What? Is that happening in Metropolis?
They do have two traffic signals there now, I think, instead of just one.
Pat was wondering out loud if they had cable.
Some people.
Well, I was more concerned about the internet so they can hear you. Now, I mean, come on. Well, how many streets do they have named after you in Anacoco?
They don't have any. My dad still lives there, and my sister does. You know, my dad's 90 years old, and he's a veteran of the Pacific Theater of World War II. Very proud of him. And,
all right. Well, that's good.
Called him on Veterans Day and told him that. So he's still there. And so it's a nice little village. It was a good place to grow up back in the 50s.
Well, that's very good. Well, I will say this. From a weather standpoint, it's going to be a lot nicer than Anacoco this weekend, and it's going to be in Fayetteville, where I'm broadcasting.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that. I tell you, it's cold enough here today. It's at about 39. Ooh. And just a light mist in the air here, and it's miserable for us. So I know it's not going to be hospitable weather-wise up there, but, hey, I get to sit in the press box. I don't have to be down on the field. My sideline reporter, Gordy Rush, has almost refused to go because he's got to be out in the elements. But anyway, it's always a great ball game from LSU. I heard you talking about it a little bit while I was waiting to go on, and you're spot on. It's a game that... Always seems to create a lot of excitement.
Yeah, even when Arkansas is apparently outmatched on paper, they seem to rise to the occasion typically against LSU. And I don't know if it's the battle for the boot or something else, but I don't want to say they've had LSU's numbers, but certainly Arkansas has always given LSU its best shot. The weather will not impact the broadcast this weekend. You've been through a lot of wars with LSU as far as football games go. What's your expectation on how the weather, if at all, will impact the team? Have you seen the Tigers be negatively impacted by cold weather over the years?
Not really, but I have to tell you, I have to think very, very hard to tell you the last time that they actually played a game in very cold weather. The one was at Notre Dame when they went up there and they won that game. The other that comes to mind was the first time that LSU and Arkansas played when Arkansas came into the league. I think that was 1992, and it was cold. The field frosted over. As a matter of fact, it was artificial surface, and the field turned white by the end of the game. It looked like it had snowed, but it just frosted over. So it was very cold that night. I don't remember who won that game. I think Arkansas did. But I can't remember a whole lot of cold weather play. But I will tell you that on a radio show last night, Coach Miles indicated that in practice yesterday. He felt that the team was really looking forward to being able to go up and play in cold weather, and it gave him a little bit more incentive to play well. So who knows? We'll see.
And I'm sure he said it in his own special way. I will say this. We marvel at Coach Miles, and I have to admit, we don't tell anybody else this, but we actually really like him. I find him very entertaining. Certainly he's done an incredible job as the head coach at LSU. I have to ask what it's like for you. You got to be constantly in a state of amusement dealing with him and working with him. He seems like a guy that would be a lot of fun to work with. And at times, I'm sure you have to decipher what he's trying to say, because we do.
Well, he's a great people person. He just likes people, and people like him. He you know, is a great family man, and his players love him. They just do. He's a player's coach, and you can't argue with the success that he's had. He's averaged over 10 wins a game. I mean, 10 wins a season in the 10 years that he's been here. Hasn't completed his 10th year yet, and he's won, 102, 103 games, I believe. Mm-hmm. And if LSU can get one more, these last two regular season games and the bowl game, they will have won 8 or more games for 15 consecutive years, and nobody else in the country or the SEC has done that. So the numbers speak for himself. But you're right. It is interesting the way it all comes about sometimes.
Yes. Jim Hawthorne joining us, the LSU play-by-play voice. Quarterback play going to be a big issue this weekend for both teams. The young quarterbacks for LSU have had some big plays, I guess, in the passing game, but they've certainly not completed a real high percentage of balls. Brandon Allen has taken more than his share of heat up here in Fayetteville. I guess when you look at the two quarterback, or three, I guess, considering LSU situation, but you look at the quarterback play on both sides. What do you think about that position for both teams?
Well, I mean, qualifying a little bit first, both teams are very similar in that they like to run the ball, and LSU's going to run it right at you. That's just what they do. I think a lot of times they don't care if you know what they're going to do to this, except you to try and stop it. And they've been successful in doing that, and have a real nice stable of running backs in Fournette and Hilliard and McGee and Williams. Mm-hmm. Arkansas is the same way. They're going to run behind the most massive offensive line I've ever heard of in my life. They have a bigger line than anybody in the NFL, from what I hear, and from tackle to tackle weighs 1,640 pounds. So the teams are going to try to run at each other. So now, to answer that question, I believe that whatever team has the most success at throwing the football is the one that's going to win, because you have to do it a little bit and do it successfully in order to offset if you're a team that is going to run most of the time.
There's been a lot made in the media this week about LSU's going to be down the dumps a little bit after the emotional loss and physically beaten up. Is there anything to that, you think, or is that just media yammering?
Well, it's a lot of media, but I don't think LSU's beaten up. I think they're in pretty good shape health-wise. There still is a question, I think, and he indicated that last night. Coach Miles did on his radio show about the health of Kenny Hilliard. He got a shoulder stinger last week, and so he was really cautious about saying that he thought that he would play. So that'd be a big blow for LSU if he didn't. But as far as the mental attitude of the team, I would say this: when LSU recovered the fumble and had first and goal down at the 6, with just a little over a minute to play, I think everybody, including the LSU football team, thought they were going to win that football game. And as a matter of fact, as I look back on it, I still don't understand how Alabama did and LSU didn't. So, yeah, it's tough to get over. But, you know, again, Coach Miles indicated the team to put it behind him, which is what he's supposed to indicate, and right. And that they are looking forward to coming up and playing Arkansas, and know they're going to have to give it their best shot, because the Razorbacks are a good football team. And it's something else I don't know. I don't know how in the world a team as good as this has lost 17 straight SEC games. That's beyond my ability to comprehend. And they're going to win one soon, and LSU is going to do everything they can to try to keep that from being this weekend.
Jim, with you saying that, and you've been around, you've watched this league for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Have you seen the competition like it's been? And I can remember Justin and I were talking about this a few years ago when these great coaches were taking these jobs, Hugh Freeze and Gus Malzahn. Somebody's got to lose. Have you seen, or can you go back and remember when it's been so competitive where it's almost like the NFL, you know, any given Saturday, really, somebody could lose? Can you recall seeing the SEC like it is now in terms of competition every week?
Not from top to bottom. I really can't, particularly in the Western Division this year. It's always been, and I will continue to believe that the SEC is the best college football conference in the nation, bar none.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always been you know, one or two, at the most, three teams on either side, the East or the West, that just kind of rises above everybody else. That's just not the case, particularly in the West this year. Anybody in there can knock off anybody else, and it's pretty much happened, except in Mississippi State, and they play Alabama this week, and so it could happen to them there. What bothers me, because it is so competitive, is that as good as this league is, it's possible that the SEC won't have anybody in the playoffs this year because they beat each other up.
Mm-hmm. Jim, I have one more for you. You've seen them both in person. What do you make of that matchup this weekend with Alabama-Mississippi State?
Well, you know, we, very honestly, should have beaten Alabama and had a pass in the air at the end of the game that would have beaten Mississippi State if it had been caught in the end zone. So LSU's played them, both of them, pretty close. I don't know. I can't wait to see it. I mean, we don't play till 9. I think that's in the afternoon. So
right.
Maybe we can set, instead of sitting and watching it snow, we can watch a really good football team. I just really don't know. If I had a gut feeling, I would say Mississippi State will probably win the game. But then. Playing, I think, in Tuscaloosa, and it's going to be something. And if Alabama does knock off Mississippi State, then you're headed in the direction that I was talking about, because Mississippi State still has to play Ole Miss, and Alabama's still got to play Auburn. And so,
it could
play out to where there's nobody in the playoffs for the SEC because of them just beating each other up.
Mm-hmm. Hey, one last thing before we let you go here. Of course, Arkansas fans have really enjoyed the end of the season with LSU, and of course this year it changes over and they end the season with Missouri, which I think will turn into a pretty good rivalry because it is another border game like the LSU game. How do the LSU fans feel about the budding Texas A&M rivalry they're creating?
Well, I think they're going to be okay with that. LSU and Texas A&M have history. We used to play them every year to open the season, so it was quite a get together every time LSU played A&M, and since they've come into the league, you know, they've been pretty good, and LSU is, I think, about the only team that beat Manziel twice when he was there. I think it's going to be fine. Arkansas was a great way to end it, and you talked about it. There were some great games to end the regular season for both of the teams. I just wish that we could get out of this Thanksgiving thing.
Yeah, I
just think playing the day after Thanksgiving, which we always did with Arkansas, and playing on Thanksgiving Day, maybe that's not going to continue after this year, but I just think that is just not a good time for the teams or for the fans for both teams, because that's a family holiday that ought to be dedicated to that, not having to travel off somewhere to watch a football game. So I guess we'll just have to see how that plays out.
I understand. All right. Well, Jim, we appreciate the time very much. Have a safe trip up here. I just got a weather report from our good friend Melinda Mayo at KATV in Little Rock, and she says 32 at kickoff. So it's going to get worse from there, I imagine. So we'll see what precipitation-wise, I don't know, but I do know it's going to be pretty chilly.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to coming up and playing anyhow, and thank you very much for having me on, and you guys have a great weekend.
All right, thanks, Jim. You too. Be safe.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Jim Hawthorne. Very good.
And a Cocoa legend.
How about that?
Like Melinda, that. Now, I hope she is not upset with me if I walk out onto the field an hour before the game just to make sure what the temperature is going to be. I think she will.
I don't know why she would. Oh, yeah. No, that's fine, Mr. Belichick. Go ahead.
Okay.
I would also
say that. And then
30
minutes
that,
before the game.
Maddie T., I went ahead and asked her, and she said, no, she doesn't need you to come over and snuggle up on her, quote-unquote, to warm her up during the cold days.
He just wants to look at the Doppler radar with her.
She wants
I was
to let,
let her
know
borrow.
She appreciates the offer.
I was going to let her borrow my jacket, but I was going to still be wearing it.
Yes. Well, the problem with your jacket is it's made from human skin, so it's the weirdest thing, and it's not your human skin, which is really weird. But anyway, as we head on the break, can I tell you about Landers Ford, guys? I want to kick off to savings. 2014 Ford F-150 4x4 Super Crew up to $11,000 off. And I don't know if you saw this story in the paper this week.
Yep.
The new F-150s are out, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've talked a lot about my weight loss with new creations. The F-150 apparently got some HCG as well, because they have shed 700 pounds off a new F-150.